All right. So we are here. It is April the 29th, 2002. I am here with Allison Brown, and we are at the campus of Wilkes Community College at the Merlefest Music Festival. So thank you again. Will you please just sort of, to start off, just describe a little bit about your music?
Well, my music is interesting because I'm a five-string banjo player, and I started off playing bluegrass music. So everything I do has a foot in bluegrass, and I like to take Earl Scruggs' three-finger style and go in some different kind of musical directions with it. So it's a little bit of a hybrid, maybe one foot in bluegrass and one foot in kind of like pop jazz. And then I like a little explorations into world music and folk music and all the kinds of things under the big musical tent of folk music, I suppose.
Great, thank you. What's your favorite memory of either Merlefest or the Watson family?
Yeah, I have so many memories. Can I give you one of each?
Sure, absolutely.
And I don't even know if I could give you one favorite memory of Merlefest, but to me, the thing that's so beautiful about roots music and Merlefest illustrates this better than just about any festival I can think of, is that it's an intergenerational music. And it's very family friendly. And I think that that's an amazing thing. And it's not, you know, to be taken for granted, because there are other genres don't have this. But roots music is really fortunate too. And so, you know, over the years, we've brought our kids to Merlefest before we had kids. We obviously didn't, but I was thinking specifically of the year I was pregnant with my daughter in 2002, playing Merlefest and playing on the main stage with, you know, like my banjo slung over to the side. And then, the years after that, you know, we'd always bring our kids up on stage. And so I really feel like they've grown up coming to Merlefest, and they've gone fishing at Bee's house, you know, didn't catch the big carp, but that was like an awesome experience. And so it's just amazing to be part of a community where you can like raise the next generation through the music and through the community. I think it really makes the roots of this music strong and makes the community really strong and solid.
Great, thank you. And was there one about the Watson family that you wanted to share as well?
I don't know the Watson family per se, but I was totally fortunate to get to do some shows with Doc. And our band opened for Doc on several occasions. And it kind of goes back to that family thing. As you know, I mean, Doc was just such a gentle soul. And my favorite memory is being able to sit with him in his dressing room backstage after one show. I think we might have been in Wisconsin. And my daughter was, I even have a picture that I could show you. She was probably, 3 months old. And Doc just held Hannah, my daughter, and sang her these old songs that I've never heard like before or again, that sounded like they were 500 years old. And he just held her and sang to her for half an hour. And I wish it had been in the age of iPhones, because I would have it to show you. But to me, that really encapsulated Doc. He was just like this connection to our musical past, but also just such a gentle soul. And he always said, "You're a good mama, Allison."
Great, thank you for that.
Yeah.
A theme of Merlefest is obviously the homecoming. So why do you think that is for both fans and musicians?
I think it goes back to that question, I think it goes back to the fact that there's a really strong community that's built on a very solid foundation. And I think just as our family, our kids have grown up here, other people kind of have seen their lives through the lens of many Merlefests over many years. So I think we all feel a connection to this. Sometimes when I'm standing backstage and it's nighttime and I'm looking at like the big trees, I almost feel like we could be at like a Highland clan gathering, in 1700s in Scotland or something. That's what it feels like to me. It's like all the different, families coming together and celebrating under the stars and in this beautiful setting. This music that has, roots that even extend before that.
Yeah. What a lovely image. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I cut you off there?
No, sorry.
No,
that's
okay.
I hope that you're not rambling.
No. It's perfect. Thank you. So can you talk a little bit about how you first got involved with the festival and maybe even memories of your first performance here?
Sure. Yeah, my first Merlefest was as a member of Allison Krauss and Union Station. We played the second Merlefest. When it was still like flatbed truck stage. And I just remember that very clearly. getting to stand on that flatbed stage in the festival was just this little bitty festival, and then just we've played, you know, every year, every other year, pretty much since then, over many, many years. It's amazing to see how it's grown.
Great.
That's where it started for me.
Great, thank you. And how has it impacted your music career?
Well, you know, I guess it's all just coming back to community for me. You know, it's a chance to visit with, you know, friends and fellow musicians, and fans isn't really the right word, because the ecosystem for this music, it's not really about fans over there and musicians over here. It's really about all of us together, and we can't have the ecosystem of this music without everybody doing their part. So it's a chance to see people that have been coming to our shows at Merlefest since before, you know, I had my kids, and seeing their kids, and, you know, it's that clan gathering idea for me, I guess.
Great. Yeah, and some of the other interviews that I've had thus far, the sort of the exchanges among musicians has come up a lot, that theme of sometimes it's somewhat random and sometimes it's planned, but like musicians sort of learning from each other also is sort of a happy sort of occurrence that happens here. Is that something that you've experienced where you connect with other musicians, maybe by happenstance or by you had planned to do it, but you sort of organic things happen with that, with your performance?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, it's a function of how busy, like, people can tend to be pretty busy running back and forth between stages. And in the early days, it was much more like that, where you were just like running at a dead run, like for 4 days. And then at the end, you might see people. But it seems like it's a little bit more calm now. And there are opportunities, certainly like on our show today, Sierra Hull sat in, and I'm going to sit in on her set this evening. So,
great.
It definitely creates opportunities to pull in friends and share a tune. And I think I hate using the word fans, but I think the audience really likes that, because that's the magic of live music, is to be like witness to a moment that only happened once and can't be repeated.
Yeah. So I feel like you've probably more than covered this next question of what makes performing here special, but maybe the second part, why have you returned year after year?
It's a privilege. I mean, I love playing Merlefest and just love being able to connect with just this scene, you know, with the people that come to watch the music and the people that play the music and all the volunteers that help make it all run so smoothly, and get to see, you know, friends, people that I've known for 30 or 40 years. It's just magical. I wouldn't miss it.
Great. Thank you. So I guess this is also something that's come up in the last couple of days. The year that it wasn't able to happen back in 2020 because of COVID, did you do anything special around the time of that weekend or on that weekend when you probably would have been here? Is that something that you thought about during that time? I know it was somewhat of a stressful time for a lot of people, so.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Didn't do anything specific. But yeah, it was, you know, getting to come back now. Mm-hmm. It's been 2 years since the pandemic. And I think that it's only through the process of playing for a live audience that you realize how much we lost during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that connection with other humans through music is just such a special thing.
Sure.
And it's not the same to sit in your room and just...
Through Zoom.
Yourself. Or even through Zoom. It's just like, that immediate connection with another person is just a magical thing. So
great.
I'm really glad that we're back.
Great, thank you. I refer to COVID in the past tense, but it's obviously still with us, Also, are there any particular rituals or traditions that you do either leading up to the festival or during the festival or maybe just after?
Oh, well, that's a good question. I mean, I can't think of anything specific. There are a couple little restaurants in town that we like to hit if we get a chance.
Hmm.
And I always think about the early days when Krispy Kreme Donuts was a sponsor.
Yeah.
And my parents came from the West Coast, and my mom is a total devotee of Krispy Kreme, so they couldn't get out west back in those days. And I just remember the boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts as being a good ritual. And actually, any time that I have a Krispy Kreme donut now, I think of them real fast.
That's great. So can you, and you, I think you've touched on this some as well, but if there's anything else to expand upon it, describing your relationship with Doc and or the festival and sort of how it sort of evolved from those early years.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. I'm trying to think of, like, the first time that I saw Doc Watson was at the San Diego folk festival, and it would have been around in the mid-70s. And my friend and picking buddy, Stuart Duncan, his band was opening for Doc and Merle, his band Pain in the Grass, was opening for those guys, and so they invited me to go along. And, you know, just like getting to see Doc play live, and then just like getting to even watch him in the dressing room, just like, you know, sitting backstage, you know, waiting for his time to go on, it's just really magical to me, because I grew up in California, and so I'm kind of an outsider to this music in a way. And Doc is like one of like the torchbearers of the roots of the music, and is like very much part of the culture that the music came out of. And so for me, you know, being around Doc, it's hard not to feel like an interloper in a way. It's like, because he is so real, and what he plays and sings is just, it's so genuine, you know? And what I play and do, you know, maybe borrows from like the roots of what Doc does, but it's not, you know, it doesn't drink from the same spring as 100% the way Doc does, or Doc did. So, you know, just being around him was always, it was hard not to be starstruck. But then, like I mentioned, he was always just so gentle and always so kind. And I remember playing, doing a set called Girls from Merle, which I think B-Towns organized that a couple of years. It was like an all-female band with Doc sitting in. And I remember rehearsing that at the Walker Center and playing a banjo solo and Doc saying, "That's some good banjo picking, Allison." And I would give anything to have that, a recording of that. But just, you know, Merlefest gave me the opportunity to be around a musical giant like that, and to be able to, like, come into his dressing room and hand over, you know, my son or whatever, and just, like, you know, watch Doc with my kids. That really was special to me, and something, a huge, important piece of musical history that I hope that they can carry into their futures.
Yeah, thank you. You mentioned feeling like an outsider or an interloper. You're obviously not now. I mean, and maybe you felt that way at one time. So was there a moment that changed where you felt more of like an insider, or do you still have that feeling?
Well, it's an interesting thing, because bluegrass banjo picking, I mean, it comes from Southern Appalachia, and people who grow up playing the music in this part of the country, their approach to the music is different. It's more free and open, and, you know, kind of including like lots of different influences in California. The parameters aren't as narrow. But I don't know. I mean, I've spent like most of my adult life living in the Southeast now, so I guess maybe I'm a little bit less of an interloper. But, you know, it's different. I think that if you're raised in this culture, and I've always been enamored of the South. Mm-hmm. And the culture I find just so fascinating. I think it's different to look at it as somebody who didn't grow up in it than to be somebody who did.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, we have gotten through our questions very quickly. So is there anything else that might be relevant to this conversation that you'd like to share that we haven't covered?
I mean, nothing's really coming to mind, but I'm glad to sit and talk if you have any other questions.
Well,
you're trying to ferret out.
No, I mean, these are sort of the standard ones that we've been asking people. Well, there's one that has come up a little bit today, and I will ask this of you as well. Do you remember the first festival after Doc died? Can you recreate that? Were you, what was that like? Do you remember any particular special performances? 2012, that's correct. So I don't know if you performed at 2013 or...
That's a good question. I don't remember I don't remember that festival specifically.
Okay.
I'm sure I would have missed not seeing him in his dressing room. But, yeah, I mean, I feel so incredibly fortunate, and knowing that the musicians that come after me won't have had the opportunity to, like, interact on any kind of personal level with the giants that created this music.
Right.
And I was, you know, fortunate with Doc and Earl Scruggs and just giants like that. I mean, I can't believe I got to be in the same room with them ever, and yet I did. And it just enriched me as a person and as a musician more than I could really put words to.
Do you remember the last time you saw Doc perform at Merlefest?
I don't remember that specifically.
Okay, great. All right, well, thank you. That covers it. So thank you for your candor and, you know, your stories. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.